Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Nilay Shah, MD, a physician scientist with the Center for Childhood Cancer and Blood Diseases at Nationwide Children's Hospital and an assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics at The Ohio State University College of Medicine, both in Columbus. Dr. Shah joined us to talk about sodium thiosulfate in pediatric patients with solid tumors treated with cisplatin. On September 20th, 2022, the FDA approved sodium thiosulfate in pediatric patients at least 1 month of age with localized non-metastatic solid tumors. The regulatory decision was based on findings from two Phase 3 clinical trials, SIOPL-6 and COGACCL-0431, which demonstrated that the agent reduced the risk of cisplatin-associated ototoxicity. In SIOPL-6, investigators evaluated cisplatin-based chemotherapy alone or with sodium thiosulfate in patients aged 1 month to 18 years with standard-risk hepatoblastoma. The incidence of hearing loss in patients who received the combination was 39%, compared with 68% in those who received chemotherapy alone. The COGACCL-0431 trial investigated cisplatin-based chemotherapy with or without sodium thiosulfate in patients between the ages of 1 and 18 years with newly diagnosed solid tumors, including hepatoblastoma, germ cell tumors, neuroblastoma, osteosarcoma, and medulloblastoma. The incidence of hearing loss in patients who received the combination was 44% versus 58% in those who received cisplatin alone. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Shah discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety data with sodium thiosulfate, and the importance of multidisciplinary communication when prescribing and administering the agent. All right, so thank you so much again, Dr. Shah, for taking the time to speak with us today. So just to start, could you discuss the significance of the approval of PEDMARK for the prevention of cisplatin-induced ototoxicity in pediatric solid tumors?
At the current state-of-the-art for pediatric solid tumors, many of those patients are receiving cisplatin part of their typically curative therapy approaches, and in some cases in later lines of therapy as well. With advances that we've made across many of these solid tumors, the improvements in survival have been quite significant, dramatic, particularly if you look on the scale of 30 to 40 years. But oftentimes the cost of treatment-related morbidity. And for a lot of our patients, particularly those with tumors such as hepatoblastoma, medulloblastoma, neuroblastoma, where the patients are particularly young and receiving the cisplatin, the risk of significant ototoxicity is quite dramatic. Some recent reviews and retrospective research have shown that rates can be as high as 65% of those patients. The ability to obtain a drug which has good evidence, which shows a reduction in that risk of ototoxicity, could have quite a dramatic impact on the quality of life for these patients. Just because we've worked to cure them of their disease doesn't mean that they should have to suffer the stigmata of that for the rest of their lives. Having the FDA approval will make it easier to not only have access to the agent for patients and families, but hopefully should also better integrate the use of products like STS in standard of care treatment. It will make more physicians and pharmacies and institutions aware of STS as a toxicity-modifying drug. In the same way that for patients receiving anthracyclines, we now routinely will use dexrazoxane to reduce that morbidity. So I think that it's a very promising advancement and should make the holistic approach of treating our patients a little bit easier.
Could you expand on the mechanism of action of PEDMARK?
PEDMARK, or sodium thiosulfate, works by acting as a scavenger for free radicals. So platinum agents, particularly cisplatin, works by working as an adduct to DNA and cross-linking the DNA, but it results in significant release of inflammatory molecules, including reactive oxidative species. And in the inner ear, that leads to direct damage to the cilia. And in humans, that damage is irreversible. The STS, when it's infused, is able to enter that space in the inner ear and scavenge those free radicals, and so mitigating the degree of direct toxicity to the cilia and preventing premature damage in that way. The timing of the STS as a result is very important. When administered too soon to either a preceding or subsequent dose of cisplatin, there's potential for reduction of efficacy there. But there is a very clear window of administration which allows for otoprotection without reducing the efficacy of the chemotherapy.
Could you talk about the key efficacy data that were found with the CIOPEL-6 and COG-ACCL-0431 trials?
The original studies that examined the benefits of STS for prevention of cisplatin-induced ototoxicity looked in the pediatric populations. And there were two major studies, CIOPEL-6 and then the COG study as well. In the CIOPEL-6 data, this is looking more at tumors like hepatoblastoma. And there, you're looking at tumors that tend to be restricted in the metastatic potential of the tumors. And so while it can have widespread involvement of the liver, and occasionally there are some distant metastases, is a cleaner study in that way. And there was clear evidence that administration of the STS 6 hours after the completion of cisplatin infusion and at least 10 hours before the subsequent dose, there was significant improvement in the rates of cisplatin-associated ototoxicity without any direct impact on disease-free survival or overall survival. That data was quite impactful and the analyses were quite robust. In the COG study, there were two cohorts that were studied. This study was more of a basket study. So basically any patients who were receiving platinum agents, particularly cisplatin, were eligible. So here you had patients who had hepatoblastoma, medulloblastoma, neuroblastoma, and osteosarcoma predominantly. I believe some germ cell tumors were also included in those cohorts. In this case, there was not necessarily a pre-planned analysis based on the metastatic burden of the disease. And the analyses were done in post hoc. For patients with localized disease, there was, again, excellent evidence that showed that there was reduction in ototoxicity over time with use of sodium thiosulfate and without a significant effect on disease-free or overall survival. In the post-hoc analysis of the patients with metastatic disease, the results were a little bit more controversial. There, the patients with metastatic disease, and this is, again, done in a randomized fashion, where half the patients did not receive STS and the other half did. While there was a reduction in the ototoxicity in those patients receiving STS, there was some question about impacts on survival. Because this was a post-hoc analysis and this was a basket study, there wasn't sufficient stratification of patients to treated or untreated arms based on their disease histology. At the end of the day, what the data showed is that those patients who did not receive STS seemed to have a higher event-free survival as compared to those patients who did receive STS. However, when you look at the historical data for expected outcomes for patients who had metastatic diseases treated with cisplatin, the untreated or the control arm on the study seems to have done exceedingly better than historical controls would have suggested. And so there was some question on, because it was post hoc analysis, if this was an accurate analysis. In fact, the interpretation from the original researchers did introduce some of that question on, were these data with regards to impact on survival for these metastatic patients, was this a conclusion that could be clearly confirmed? And there was some doubt there. And there's a recommendation for repeat studies to evaluate the impact on the patients with metastatic disease in a more planned analysis. So setting aside the information with regards to the metastatic patients, the data from both studies, the CIOPEL-6 as well as the COG study, clearly demonstrate that you can treat patients with localized disease burden with STS and improve their risk of ototoxicity while having no significant impact on disease-related survival.
What adverse effects should clinicians be aware of with this agent? And would any of these deter you from using this agent in certain patients?
The primary toxicity of sodium thiosulfate is with regards to the bolus of the actual sodium that's part of the compounding. And what is usually seen in those patients is with the time of the infusion, a very sudden degree of nausea and or vomiting. Patients can literally kind of feel that sensation. It's interesting in that which patients will feel that sensation and will have very significant nausea and vomiting is somewhat hard to predict. It does seem to be more impactful to older patients, your school age and adolescent patients, as compared to infants, toddlers, and preschool or early school age children. Regardless, this is certainly a toxicity that can be very directly managed. We recommend administration of an antiemetic, basically as a pre-medication to the administration of the sodium thiosulfate. And generally, that is able to control the symptom. It is not an ongoing prolonged nausea. It seems to be very administration specific in that way and is very manageable. And I would not recommend that physicians avoid use of STS for that purpose alone.
How do you see sodium thiosulfate fitting into the current treatment paradigm for this population?
There are clear patients where use of STS as standard of care should be considered. Again, patients with localized tumors, particularly those who are young, under 6 years of age, in particular, who seem to be at the highest risk as based on those most recent retrospective studies. But frankly, for all patients who are going to be receiving multiple doses of cisplatin, in particular, it should be considered. So again, hepatoblastoma, medulloblastoma, osteosarcoma, germ cell tumors in particular. There's some question with regards to neuroblastoma as to which patients will be most appropriate. But I think it's worth discussing with patients who are potentially going to be receiving cisplatin, as well as other ototoxic agents such as high-dose carboplatin. Again, the indication for the STS itself is with use of cisplatin, and I'm not necessarily saying that it should be used in patients who are receiving high-dose carboplatin, but for those patients who will be later receiving high-dose carboplatin, because there's an increased risk, use of STS with cisplatin may reduce the overall risk of hearing loss. Use of STS should also be further investigated in the clinical trial capacity for some of those other cohorts, particularly those patients with metastatic disease as well. But I think that's a question within the research space.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add about these trials or this approval?
Obviously, with the introduction of sodium thiosulfate as a new adjunctive agent, this needs to be done from a whole team basis. Because of that necessity to avoid overlap in timing of the STS with either preceding or subsequent doses of cisplatin, there will need to be some protocolization of use of STS in these patients. And that will involve really a comprehensive approach of partnering with nursing staff, pharmacy staff, nurse practitioners, and the rest of the medical team. I think that by including kind of all members in that conversation, it will help to demystify how the agent is meant to be used and how it can be best used. I would also recommend that treating physicians reach out to those collaborating partners who've had prior experiences with sodium thiosulfate to see kind of how other institutions have made best use of the drug without causing much disturbance from a procedural standpoint.
Just looking forward generally in this space, is there any ongoing research at Nationwide Children's Hospital that you're excited about?
So we are excited to be partnering through Children's and College Group for future initiatives for not only sodium thiosulfate, but also other approaches to reduce ototoxicity. I think that there's quite a lot of preclinical and clinical interest in this topic. And I think the other question that's going to arise as well is not only the short-term and near long-term effects of these agents, but also the longitudinal effects. Well, we clearly know that some patients are at risk for early hearing loss from use of cisplatin, and that use of drugs like sodium thiosulfate will mitigate that risk. We also know that these agents on the long-term scale, you know, 20, 30, 40 years out, are at increased risk of early hearing loss, as well as other hearing-associated toxicities such as tinnitus. And that's data that really hasn't been collected yet. We look forward to partnering with our colleagues on many of these studies.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today about this topic. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive on Air.